Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Walk Strong, from the series Stronger. Discover how embracing your potential for a powerful faith walk can transform your spiritual journey in this insightful message. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you don't have a copy of the scripture, there's one under every other seat in front of you. Please take it, get your eyes on a copy. And just so you know, I said 2 months ago when I was here teaching on our Brave Vision that, hey, don't you worry, next week I'll be back preaching on 1 Corinthians 10 and thundering it out. I've learned these two words. This is free of charge. Lord willing. Lord willing, I've been waiting to say, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10 for 2 months, and I'm thrilled to be back and able to do that. And just so you know, I got cleared on Monday. This was supposed to be done by video. They were going to allow me to preach on Saturday night only for a couple weeks. On Monday, they cleared me to try to preach all three services this weekend, so I'm excited about that. So as you open your Bibles there, what I want to talk to you today about is walking strong. How do you have a strong walk with Jesus Christ? What does that look like? Now, for many people, when it comes to a walk with Jesus Christ, they'll say things like this. Oh, that person, he's a good Christian. Or she's like one of those really good kind of Christians. She kind of walks that thing out. I want to let you know something just from the get-go of our message today. Every single one of you can have a strong walk with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I made sure I talked to all the ushers on both campuses today, and I said, only let the people in today that have the potential of having a strong walk with Christ. And as I look around, I see they did a really good job. Because here's why. For many of us, we think that there's a certain gene that some people get as Christians, and if they get that gene, then it works for them, and if they didn't get that gene, it doesn't work for them. But I have good news for you. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can also have a strong walk with him. It's just sometimes we don't celebrate or continue to celebrate the things that God does. Like, it's really important. Like, if you go to a wedding, those are worthy of celebrations. God loves marriage. And when you go to a wedding, there's a huge celebration as well. There should be. But what the Bible points out is not only should we celebrate the wedding, we should also celebrate the continual marriage, correct? It's exciting when women in our church give birth. We get excited about new birth. I mean, it's so awesome. But we should also get excited about parents that bring that child home and raise them in the knowledge of the Lord for the next 18 years before they send them out. And the same thing is true. When we see people come to Christ, it is noteworthy of our praise. We should cheer them. We should give God glory. But it's also praiseworthy when those same people begin to walk out the faith that Jesus Christ has for them. And I don't know about you, but I wish I would have heard the message I'm about ready to preach to you when I first became a believer. Because when I first became a believer, I knew Christ and I loved Christ, but I didn't know how to walk out with Christ, and nobody really taught me how to do it. And after a period of time, I thought I was just one of those failures in Christ that kind of did it good sometimes and kind of did it really bad at other times. And that was just my lot in life. And it wasn't until I heard some of the truth that I'm going to share with you today that I really began to walk out my faith in Christ and had a strong walk. And so if you're looking to have a strong walk in Christ, this message is for you. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter your age, and it doesn't matter your gender. It matters if your heart says, I want to have a strong walk with Jesus. I'm going to highlight three things from God's word in 1 Corinthians 10 about what that looks like. Now, just to bring you back up to speed, if you'll remember, in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 8, Paul began to talk about our liberty that we have in Christ, because God's overwhelming love that he has for us, we have liberty to choose things to serve him. And what happens with our liberty is sometimes we end up choosing liberty to say, hey, I can do this and get away with it and God will love me anyway. Some people have the opposite view of legalism, which is God's mad at you all the time no matter what you do, so you better just try really, really hard. And both are in error. And so what Paul has been trying to highlight for the Corinthians is not to use the liberty that they have as a license to sin, but rather use their liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why he ended the last chapter in chapter 9 saying how he beat his body. He made his body his slave. He disciplined himself in such a way that he could serve Christ the best that he could. And this is where it picks up. And if you want to have a strong walk with Christ, let me give you the first point today. If you want to have a strong walk with Christ, remember this. Remember that experiencing God's love and pleasing God are not the same. They're not the same thing. Experiencing God's love and pleasing God are not the same thing. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea, and all ate the same food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for which they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." He says, I don't want you to be unaware of this. All 2 million people that were let go of the bondage that they were in Egypt and came out of Egypt were all experienced the power of God, all experienced God's love. When it says that all were baptized into Moses, baptism simply means this: immersed into or identified with. Every single person there experienced the pillar of fire. They experienced the pillar of cloud. They experienced the Red Sea parting. They all walked through the sea. They were all under Moses's leadership. They all saw God do tremendous, amazing things where their jaw was dropping, saying, "Wow, God is incredible." They all experienced the love and the power of God, every single one of them. It's kind of like when you come to church. If you come to church and you worship with people that love Christ and are walking with Christ and are serving Christ, and you experience the power of God when the word is faithfully proclaimed and you sense God is among you, you can experience God's love. We've all, to an extent, experience God's love, and that God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for us. And even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And even if you're not aware of God's love for you, he has an incredible love for you. And this is what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be unaware that God's love goes out to the world, that God loved all of Israel. But notice verse 5, nevertheless. It's kind of like but or however. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. In other words, out of the 2 million people, with most of them, most of the 2 million, God wasn't pleased with them. He loved them, but he wasn't pleased with them. There's a difference between loving somebody and being pleased with the person that you love. How many of you are parents? How many of you know you can love your children and not be pleased with them at the exact same time? Has that ever happened to anybody in here? 1, 2... Has that ever happened to anybody in here? Thank you for participating. Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying just because God loves you doesn't always mean that he's pleased with you. Right? And this is what was happening. And the reason we know is since they were laid low in the wilderness, that means they were strewn all over the place, which means this: out of the entire 2 million people that left Egypt that God showed his incredible love to, how many of those people entered the promised land? Two. Two of the adults. Some of the children, right? Why? Because they were all unfaithful to God, even though God had shown his love to them. And so there's a big difference between saying, oh, God loves me. Yes, he does. I can tell you on the authority of God's word, he loves you. The question is, are you pleasing to him? And what does that look like? Because all of us have a human nature, don't we? All of us tend to think that we're entitled. It's just part of human nature. And you know, as parents, we see this all the time in our kids. I mean, at the beginning of ski season last winter, I wanted to be good to my 2 older children and I wanted to take them skiing. And so we went, and because we were late getting gear this year, they have this deal where if you buy used gear, it's a certain price, but if they don't have used gear, then you have to buy new gear, which is twice as expensive. Well, wouldn't you know, because we went late, I had to buy all new gear. So we go to the ski store the night before, I buy all new gear for one child, I buy all new gear for another child. Then I make sure that they have lift passes, but I also make sure that they have a lesson. By the way, this starts adding up, just so you know. I mean, this is pretty expensive in my pocketbook. So the next day I wake them up early. I paid for gas. I provided transportation. I drove them all the way to the ski lift. I carried their equipment to make sure that they got to their ski lesson on time. I made sure that they were happy all day long. They were in their class. They did all their stuff. And on the way up, they were hungry. So guess what Dad did? I stopped for breakfast. And guess who paid for that? I did. And after the ski day, after they were completely worn out saying, you know, oh, Dad, we're so exhausted. We're so hungry. Guess what? They wanted to stop again and get something to eat. So guess what I did? I stopped and got something else to eat. And as I'm driving them down the mountain, I'm thinking, Dad, you are a good dad. Look at how good you love them. And it was about that time that one of my children piped up in the back and said these words: Dad, how come you never take us to Great Wolf Lodge and go swimming? All of our other friends have been there. We never get to do anything fun. And as he was saying that, I was thinking about my wife's sin nature that got passed down. And I'm teasing. But isn't that how we're like? And as I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, do I give him a spreadsheet on how much I just spent on him for the last day? Do I show him how he's not worthy of any of that, but out of the goodness of my heart, I provided that? No, I didn't do that. I understood exactly what he was saying. He was saying, Dad, I'm human and I'm living for me and I want to be pleased.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Walk Strong, from the series Stronger, showing you how embracing your potential for a powerful faith walk can transform your spiritual journey. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And I wish I could say that when you get out of childhood, that just goes away, but it doesn't. I mean, we all tend to be like that, right? And so when it comes to God's word and what it means to please God, sometimes we end up asking the wrong question. And when you ask the wrong question, you end up making a wrong statement. And when you make a wrong statement, you live by wrong principles. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. We'll put a question on the board. Will God still love me if I? And then we just fill in the blank. Now, if you're a legalist, no matter what I put in that blank, you're going to say no. Will God still love me if I don't read my Bible this morning? Here's what a legalist would say. No, he's mad at you. Will God still love me if I don't pray? Legalist, no, he's mad at you. Will God still love me if I don't go to church this weekend? No, he's mad at you. Legalists will always answer the question, no. So the way that legalists respond is, so I'm just doing a lot of good because the more good I do, the more God will be pleased with me, which is a lie. God's not pleased with you because you do good. God is only pleased with you because of the life in his son that he gives to you. That's it, right? But for most of us that have been dialed into God's word and dialed into the truth, let me just ask you this question. Will God still love me if I, can I fill in the blank with anything? Let me just ask you a question. Will God still love me even if I get drunk? Okay, we're in church. Four of you think that God would still love me. Would God still love me if I get drunk?
Yes.
Thanks. He would. Would God still love me if I smoked weed?
Yes.
Yes, he would. Would God still love me if I was immoral?
Yes.
Yes, he would. God will love me no matter what. God would still love me if I murdered somebody. God loves me no matter what. The answer is yes. It's a resounding yes. That's what the cross is so scandalous for. What Jesus did when he stretched out his arms and died, he said, no matter what you've done and no matter what you will ever do, I will love you with an unconditional love that's unmerited. That's the gospel. It's true. The challenge is we make statements with that. We say things like this. So God will love me even if I. God will love me even if I'm immoral. God will love me even if I do drugs. God will love me even if I do this. Which is true, but then we make a principle out of it. And here's our principle. Our principle is, therefore, I will blank, or therefore, I will continue to blank because God loves me anyway. Now, if I said as your pastor, hey, therefore, I'm gonna be immoral this week, commit adultery against my wife because God loves me anyway. Hey, therefore, I'm gonna get drunk every night this week. Hey, therefore, I'm gonna beat my kids this week because God loves me anyway. What would you say to that? You'd say, that's wrong. You'd say that's way out of bounds. It's because we're asking the wrong question. Let me give you an unreserved answer. God loves you no matter what. That's just who he is. He demonstrated on the cross. That's been settled at the foot of the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, his love for you was settled. It's done. See, here's a better question to ask with our liberty. Here's the better question to ask. Will blank bring God the most glory? Will blank be pleasing to him? Will me getting drunk bring God the most glory? Answer, no. Will me being immoral on my wife bring God the most glory? No. And if I ask that question, there may be things that aren't even sinful that God says, yeah, this doesn't bring me the most glory, so this is how I want you to live, right? If it doesn't bring God the most glory, then I don't want to do it, which is why I make this statement. Even though God will love me, or since God loves me no matter what, I refuse to blank because I want to honor him. Hey, even though God will love me if I get drunk, I'm not going to get drunk because I want to honor God. Hey, even though God will love me if I'm lazy, I don't want to be lazy because I want to please God. Hey, even though God will love me if I don't study his word or pray or seek his face, I want to do those things because I want to please God. Right? Then the principle becomes this way. Therefore, I will always choose to honor God over blank. Do you get it? See, the question that we need to be asking is, God, what brings you the greatest pleasure? God, what brings you the most glory? If you're single, see, here's what most people do in church. Most people say, well, God loves you anyway, and everybody sins, so don't worry about it. I'm not asking you to worry about it. I'm just saying if it doesn't bring God the most pleasure or most glory, then just stop doing it. Like if you're dating and you're like, well, God will forgive me anyway, even if we move in together, and it's no big deal because everybody does it. If it doesn't bring God the most glory, then move out. I mean, you got to ask yourself the question, if you're single, is God having as much fun on your date as you are? You got to ask yourself, if you're married, is God having as much fun in your marriage as you are? You got to ask yourself, if you're at work, is God having as much fun in your work as you are? Not, can I get away with this? Not, will God still love me? But am I being my best for the Lord Jesus Christ? That becomes the question. Does that make sense? And that's what Paul is saying. The problem that Israel had was not that they didn't experience God's love and not that they didn't experience God's power, but comparatively few people that were experiencing God's love and power were actually seeking to please God. Who were they seeking to please? They were seeking to please themselves. That's what they were doing. And if you want to have a strong walk with Christ, here's a great question. God, am I being pleasing to you? If you'll ask that question when you read the Bible, it'll amaze you how the Holy Spirit will work in your life. Now, I didn't realize this as a young believer. As a matter of fact, there were times in my early life as a believer where I got mad at reading the word because I always felt terrible all the time. Like every time I opened the Bible, I felt like I was doing everything wrong. I didn't realize at the time that was God's Holy Spirit showing me that he had a better way for me. He wasn't mad at me. He wasn't upset with me. He was trying to show me what was most pleasing to him. Now I know when I read God's word that when he's showing me stuff, he's not saying, Jeff, I hate you. Jeff, you're no good. Jeff, you're lousy. Jeff, you'll never get this. He's saying, hey, Jeff, there's a better way. And Jeff, I'm showing you this conviction because I want you to live in a way that's pleasing to me because, oh, Jeff, by the way, when my joy is in you, your joy will be complete. Like the most satisfying life is to please God. When you please God, you'll be the most satisfied. That's what the Bible teaches. So this is not about doing right so that, okay, I'm just keeping God at bay. I want him pleased with me. When you're pleasing God, your joy meter goes through the roof, regardless of your circumstance. And that's what Paul's saying. You want to have a strong walk in Christ? Work to please Christ. Don't just live off, I know God loves me. Yes, he does. How is it that I can actively pursue God? There's a difference between passively receiving God's love and pursuing pleasure in God. You know, seek to please the Lord. Amen? Second thing I'd encourage you to do is this. If you want to have a strong walk with Christ, learn from the example of others. Notice what he says in verse 6. He's going to say the same thing in verse 12 or verse 11. Notice this. Now, these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Why is Paul going to talk about Israel? He's going to say, hey, Israel is an example to us. And here's what they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it was written. The people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now here you see the same thing in verse 11 you saw in verse 6. Now these things happened to them as an example. There's that word example. And they were written for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages have come. They're an example. How many of you were the oldest child in your family? You were the example. Right? How many of you had an older sibling in your family? After church today, call them and thank them for taking all the beatings for you, right? Right? Because if you have an older child, if you were the oldest child, your parents didn't know what they were doing sometimes, or they did and they were setting up a standard that some of you younger children could watch and say, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that, man. I'll let them get in trouble for that, right? That's what they did. I mean, one time I was, my younger brother, 17 years younger than me, and I moved back to our hometown when I was like 32 and he was 15, and we went out and did a motorcycle class over the weekend. And I didn't really know my brother very well at the time because I'd moved out of the house when he was one, and I already had my motorcycle license, but we started doing this class together. We had so much fun. I mean, I laughed the whole weekend long. I mean, we were laughing at the same things. We almost got kicked out of the class because we were trying to push each other over and all this stuff. And after spending the weekend with him, I was driving him back home and I said these words to him. I said, Justin, I said, Now I know why we're 17 years apart. Because if you would have been 2 years younger than me, like Jen was, I would have been devious enough to come up with all the stupid things I did, and you would have been dumb enough to do them, and mom would be dead. I'm like, it's a good thing God gave her 17 years. So my brother went home, and the way he interpreted it, he walked in and he goes, "Hey, Mom." He goes, "It's a good thing I wasn't the first child. If Jeff and I would have been raised together, you'd be dead." Which is not quite what I said, but my mom, not skipping a beat, said, these words came right out of her mouth. She said, "Justin, if you would have been firstborn, you would have been an only child." So she saw what I saw. But the point is, these things are given to us as examples. I mean, the greatest experience you have, if you can learn from others' mistakes, you don't have to repeat it. If you can learn from what others did well, you can follow it. Israel is given to us as an example so that we can learn from it, what they did well and what they didn't do well. And Paul's going to highlight four things. He said, they're going to be an example to you so that you don't crave evil. And here's what he says. He said, do not become idolaters as some of them were. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and sit up to play. So one thing is idolatry. Now, when we think about the word idolatry, most of us think about statues. Like if you've been to India, like I have many times, and you ride in a taxi, you'll see different statues all over the car, or you'll see statues in people's homes, or you'll see little Buddhas here and there. And we think about that as being idolatry. And so most of us think, well, that ain't me. I mean, I don't have little statues and things that I pray to. So I'm not idolatrous. I mean, I'm not an idolater. I mean, think about ancient Israel. I mean, he's referring back to Exodus 32 when Moses was delayed in bringing the Ten Commandments down. And because they were delayed in hearing from God, here's what they decided to do. They decided to pull all their jewelry together and form a cow or a golden calf out of the jewelry and then worship it, get drunk, and have an orgy. They're like, we'll serve that God. That's what we'll do. We'll serve someone other than the living God. We want to please ourselves. Let me give you a definition of what I think idolatry is. It's this. I would say it's giving your ultimate worship to that which is not ultimate. Giving your ultimate worship to that which is not ultimate. And when I talk about worship, I'm talking about your focus, your time, your effort, your attention. I mean, where does your heart go? Now, I want to be careful when I teach this, because if I teach this too strong, you're going to say, well, Jeff, you're just saying everybody needs to be a pastor and go to church every day. That's not what I'm saying. Some of you have not been called to be a pastor, but can you do what you do by still knowing that you're doing what you're doing by keeping your relationship with Jesus first place in your life? And there's a lot of people that can do a lot of different jobs that can do that. When I left the insurance industry, I couldn't do that. I knew God was calling me to preach in such a way that I said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. But I had two other friends my age that to this day love the Lord Jesus Christ, serve him, are doing awesome in that industry, and told me at the time, hey, we love what we do, and we feel like we're doing it for Jesus, and we love what we're doing for Jesus, and they're doing it great for Jesus. The question is not what you're doing, it's can you do what you're doing with a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost? And for many of us, we take our eyes off Jesus and we put it on other things. For instance, let me give you an example. There's nothing wrong with having a house. There's nothing wrong with buying a house. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having a car or buying a car or having a nice car. Here's what the challenge is when you wake up every day and you're looking at Zillow or you're online looking at a car and all you can think about all day is a car and how much it is. Car, 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 house, 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 house. I don't have time for Jesus. I don't have time for his word. I don't have time. All I have time for is getting. That's when your focus is off. Do you see the difference? And we can become idolaters in a lot of things. We can put family over Jesus. We can put friends over Jesus. We can put our job over Jesus. We can put pleasure over Jesus. We can put anything over Jesus. And yet we can do a lot of those things and Jesus still stays first place in our life. And let me tell you this, where the enemy tries to go after you more than anywhere else, the number one temptation is not any specific sin. It's just to take Jesus off the throne of your life. That's it.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Walk Strong, showing you how embracing your potential for a powerful faith walk can transform your spiritual journey. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.